Grace and peace to all from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On behalf of the staff, session, and members, we'd like to welcome you to Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church, or Cook's Church, as we call ourselves now. We're delighted that you're here with us to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. I was reminded this morning that this is my 15th Easter in the service of the Lord, and I will tell you that every one of them continues to excite me and makes me a little nervous. And so I apologize in advance for any gaffes that come along that line. During the good, the Maundy Thursday service, I walked all over a couple of hymns. So here's, if I do it again, somebody, psst, psst, right? Give me a heads up. We're fortunate that we've got several announcements to be given before we get started. The first is we hope all children will join us for the annual Easter egg hunt on the front lawn today, and cookies and lemonade for adults. So immediately following the service, join us for a time of fellowship, and for the kids, a time of finding Easter eggs and having fun. We will also collect the 2023 One Great Hour of Sharing offering. The envelopes are in the pew racks today. For more than 70 years, the Great Hour of Sharing has connected us in God's healing, tending, and growing to create a world where all needs are met. Those are the people Jesus connected with in the Bible, and they are the people that we're invited to connect with today. Mark donations can be put in the offering plate this morning, and thank you. Also, any of the fishes that were given out last week to collect change can go into those as well. There will be no youth group meeting tonight. Enjoy your time with your family. We will also not have Bible study tonight, but we'll meet again. We'll meet again soon. Please note, as we have announced previously, we're going to allow the condos and townhomes on Cool Oak Boulevard to use our parking lots as their streets are resurfaced. And they'll be using those from the week of April 15th through 10th through the 15th. So that starts tomorrow. So if you come to our church, what we ask is that you park on this side of the building and be good with our neighbors. They're having a tough go of it. So just let's keep them in our minds. Okay, the circles will meet this Tuesday, April 11th in the Fellowship Hall. The morning circle will meet at 10 a.m. and the evening circle will meet at 7. All ladies are invited. The community meal is also this Thursday, April 13th from 5 to 6:30 in the Fellowship Hall. The menu will be cheesy chicken casserole, lima beans, sweet potatoes, and dessert. Bring your friends and neighbors. Our property ministry will meet immediately following that service. Cook's Men's Breakfast Meeting will be next Sunday, April the 16th at 7:30 a.m. in the Fellowship Hall. All men are invited. And our session will meet next Sunday. Well, no, we won't. Our session will meet the week of April 23rd at 7 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. Cookies are needed for Operation North State Veterans Fishing Festival on April 20th. Baked or bought any kind. Bring to the Fellowship Hall by April 19th. See Dale Lucky with any questions. The church office is closed tomorrow in observance of the Easter holiday. Regular office hours will resume on Tuesday. I will be out of the office this week into the beginning of next week, but we'll be back on Tuesday a week following. If there are any concerns, though, Cheryl will be happy to get them to me. So don't hesitate calling if there is an emergency or you need some talk to somebody. See the insert today or the beautiful lilies that we have in our sanctuary this morning. If you purchased one, please be sure to take it home today. And thank you earnestly from the bottom of our hearts for your giving of those flowers this morning. Before we get to our moment for mission, are there any other announcements that need to be brought before the congregation at this time?
Women's circle will be at 10:30.
Okay. I made a mistake. Women's circle will be at 10:30 on Tuesday morning. So please be advised. Yeah. There will not be a men's breakfast next Sunday, so please keep that in mind. Any other announcements that need to be brought? Okay. Ready?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Would you like some good news?
Absolutely.
Yes. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
There you go. All right. Hallelujah. All right. I have a question for you. How many different types of religions are there?
Two.
All right. She's right. There are two. According to Bible scholars, there are only two different types of religions. There are the religions of human achievement. Let me explain. These types of religions are based purely on a works righteousness foundation. These types of systems are all centered around people following a specific set of rules, policies, and or traditions in order to earn favor from God, with a little g here, or the gods, okay? It's also the idea that the supreme being has a set of scales, and if one follows all the rules and is a good person, they may tip those scales in the good column, in the favorable afterlife column. So, and believe it or not, you can place all world religions in that category except for one, Christianity. You knew that was coming, didn't you? Christianity is not based on human achievement or works righteousness at all. I've heard it said, maybe you have too, that Christianity is not really a religion. It's a relationship. It's a relationship between us and God's only Son. Religion is humanity's attempt to reach up and become acceptable to God. Christianity, on the other hand, is a divine gift based on what Christ has already done. Jesus, think about it. Jesus lived a perfect life that we could never live. And he offered himself as a perfect sacrifice and paid our sin debt in full. And he taught that there's only one way to God. John 14:6 says, Jesus is quoted, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And finally, there's more. Jesus also validated his claim through the historical fact of his resurrection. It's a historical fact. Think about it. Only Jesus had the power to lay down his life and pick it back up again. You can travel and visit all these graves of all these other religious leaders, and you know what? They're still in there. Those people are just as dead as Julius Caesar. They're still in their grave, okay? These graves are all occupied. We can also travel to the Holy Land and visit the grave that, according to tradition, is where they buried our Lord and Savior. And that grave is vacant. The Lord only needed it for a few days. So in summary, think about it this way. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future.
Amen.
And life is worth the living just because he lives. So let's join together and worship a risen Savior. Thank you.
Amen. The Lord.
Good morning.
Lord, like the women at the tomb on the first Easter, we come out of our darkness into your light. We come out of our hopelessness to find your joy.
We come out of our confusion to seek your peace.
We come from a far home because we know we have been found.
We come at your invitation to celebrate your risen life and to praise you as Lord.
Join me as we pray. Living God, on this most joyous day, we offer our thanks and our praise to you, Creator of heaven and earth, Creator and lover of all humanity. We bless you for creating the whole world, for your promises to your people Israel, and for the life we know in Jesus Christ, your Son. Even when we have turned away from you, you've never rejected us. You spoke words of mercy and love through the prophets, promising to swallow up death forever and to host a banquet for all people, a feast of life-giving sustenance. We praise you for Christ Jesus, your Word incarnate, made flesh. Born of Mary, he shares our lives. Eating with sinners, he welcomes even us. Leading his followers, he guides us. Dying on the cross, he rescues us. Risen from the dead, he gives new life. Most resilient God, source of all that is eternally raised up, we give you thanks for your unspeakable gift of Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ is indeed the one and only true Prince of Peace, and it's he that invited us to share that peace with us. Immediately following the resurrection, he says to the disciples, "As the Father has sent me, so now I send you." So in celebration of this sending to promote peace, let us pass the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ now.
in our glorious King.
True and sure and worthy of our full acceptance, that Christ Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins. Friends, we believe this, and we know that as we confess our sin, that we encounter a God that does not seek to condemn us, but instead is always out to forgive us. We know that through the death and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. But we boldly confess our sins, raising our voices together in our prayer of confession, to confess our sins to the Lord, knowing and trusting that we find his grace and his mercy in all things and in all ways. Join me as we share our prayer of confession together, found in this morning's bulletin. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are people who often live our lives in routine, but who rarely enter into the fullness of the abundant life. In Easter, you accomplished the impossible. You proved your word and your faithfulness with the remarkable power of the resurrection of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We, however, live as though the tomb was not empty. Forgive us for not walking in the light of your love. Forgive us for doubting that your word is reliable and true. Forgive us for refusing to believe that you would do what you have promised. As we confess our sins and doubts, we also affirm that through the cross, you have conquered these once and for all. May we live abundantly in the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Amen. Friends, by the waters of our baptisms, we know an eternal truth. We know that our sins have been washed away and that forgiveness flows through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven today, tomorrow, and all eternity. Our faith is an ancient one and historical in that men and women were writing documents from the very beginning. We've gathered together in our church a collection of confessions and affirmations of faith that we and creeds that we use in order to keep us true to the message that's revealed in Scripture, that Christ is risen and that we are following him. One of these is the Apostles' Creed, a creed that we use to unify our hearts and minds in the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which can be found in this morning's bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated and join us in our second hymn, number 232 in the Brown Hymnal. Time, we'd like to invite all of the children that are here with us to come down and join us on the front carpet for a time with Miss Melissa.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How are you? Good. Who can tell me what today is? It is Easter. Are any of you going to be going on an Easter egg hunt today? Yes? Excellent. Yes, I saw some eggs being hidden around here. That will be so much fun. Well, I'm ready too. I have my Easter basket, and I've got some eggs in my basket, but my eggs are a little bit different. They have some special things in them that are going to teach us just a little bit about Easter, okay? So let's take a look. In my first egg, my big egg, what have I got? A cross. Very good. So we know that around Easter time, Jesus died on the cross. And he did that because he loves us so much that he wanted us to be able to live in heaven one day too. All right? Let's see what's in my second egg. What have I got here? A rock. You could also call it a stone. It's kind of smooth like a stone. We'll call it a stone. So after Jesus died on the cross, his body was placed in a tomb, which is kind of like a cave. And then a big stone, way bigger than this one, was rolled in front of the tomb. And on Sunday morning, two women went to see where Jesus' body had been placed. And when they got to the tomb, the big stone that was there had been rolled away. So let's look at my last egg. Let's see what's in here. What have I got? Nothing. It's empty. Just like the tomb was when the women went to see Jesus' body. They went into the tomb, and he wasn't there. At first, they thought somebody had stolen his body, but then an angel appeared and said, "He is not here. He is risen, and now lives in heaven with God his Father," which is really good news. Will you pray with me? Okay. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for us, so that we may have everlasting life. Amen. All right, thanks, God.
We come now into a time of reading and proclamation of God's word, and as always, we do so beginning with a prayer for illumination. Join me as we pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would be with us this Easter Sunday, surrounding us and drawing into our hearts so that we might hear this message the way that you intend us to be, righteous of heart and upright of spirit. Create in us, O Lord, a clean heart, preparing us for your word and for its proclamation. We ask this all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. Amen.
Our Old Testament scripture today is from Jeremiah 30, 1 through 6, and it can be found on 781 of your pew Bible. At that time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the clans of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. When Israel sought for rest, the Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be built, O virgin Israel. Again, you shall adorn yourself with tambourines and shall go forth in the dance of the merrymakers. Again, you shall plant vineyards on the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant and shall enjoy the fruit. For there shall be a day when watchmen will call in the hill country of Ephraim, arise and let us go up to Zion to the Lord our God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament reading comes to us from the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John. I read this morning verses 1 through 8, inviting you now to hear the word of our Lord. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you had carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord, and that he has said these things to her." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, I said a few weeks ago that sometimes my illustrations are dating me, and I apologize for that. And this one is surely going to do the job as well. But it was a number of years ago that I read a story about a father who had a son as he was growing up was just the biggest fan of Captain Kangaroo and Mr. Rogers. Every weekday, he would sit in front of the television watching those shows with great interest and great glee. And then one day, the unimaginable happened. It turned out that Captain Kangaroo was coming to Mr. Rogers' show. The two of his favorite things in the world together in one sitting. He was overjoyed. I see some folks nodding. They remember that, right? Now you're dating yourself too, right? But on the day of the event, the whole family huddled around the television, excited and anxious to see the show. But the little boy, he only stayed there for a few minutes. For a few minutes, he lingered, and then he went to his bedroom and closed the door. The father, who in the story says that he was a little concerned, went to go see his son and see what was going on. He cracked open the door a little bit and asked him, "Son, are you okay?" To which the son only replied, "It's just too good. It's just too good." I think we understand that feeling, it's just too good, when we come to Easter Sunday, because the great good news is here. Christ has died, and in that death, he has atoned for our sin forever. We need not worry about the sin that we accumulate, because we know that Jesus Christ died on that tomb for us. And wasn't it a great thing to have such a dreary couple of days between Good Friday and the Easter sunrise service? It really accentuated as the sun comes out and we have another beautiful day. The fact that Jesus Christ has done something for us that we could never do for ourselves. He has atoned for our sins perfectly and completely, and he did so without any respect to our merit or our deserving. It says in the scriptures, Christ died for the unrighteous, and that he means us. That's good news, but it's even better news when you figure that that salvation that comes, that atonement that was made, opens up the pathway into eternal life for us. That we need not no longer fear what lies beyond the undiscovered country of our graves, but instead we know that Jesus Christ has gone ahead and prepared for us a place in the kingdom forever and ever. And that's great news. To be freed of the worries of what lies beyond our tombs is, in fact, a great blessing because it frees us to enjoy this life with greater relish and gusto. Never miss the fact that Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John talks about not just eternal life, which means our life in the kingdom of God, but rather he also talks about an abundant life, which we have here and now through the power that Christ shares with us. And make no mistake about it, Easter is about power. It's a power that's unleashed in the world that can do amazing things. It's a power that can come and speak to us as we grieve the loss of a loved one, or as we fret over a pernicious sin that remains with us, or we fret and worry about a loved one who's struggling, or perhaps we're carrying around a load of resentments that we need no longer hold. Why? Because Christ is risen and he's released the power of hope, the power of forgiveness, and the power of purpose. And I want to talk to you about these three powers that sometimes we overlook. We sometimes overlook them because faith can be, in our broken, sinful bodies, a fickle thing. We can feel filled with the Holy Spirit one day, only to find ourselves withering and questioning our belief the next. It's just the nature of living in sin-broken bodies that it won't stay perfect. But what we do realize is that these times and occasions come where there are challenges and threats to our lives and to our livelihood. And it's that point, isn't it, that faith becomes alive and active again and reminds us of these truths of Easter. And they remind us first and predominantly about the power of hope. Hopelessness can be such a depressing thing. To live each day with the belief that tomorrow simply can't get any better can really run it out of your soul. I should know, I've struggled with hopelessness through depression in my life at times in my days, and I can tell you, as many of you have experienced, that it is absolutely no fun to feel like there's no hope for tomorrow. But the great good news is that there is, in fact, hope There's hope because of what Jesus Christ has done. But hopelessness itself can take on many forms, can it? Sometimes when you're hopeless, you end up hurting people. You don't mean to, but you do because that's what hopeless people just naturally end up doing. Sometimes hopelessness can lead you into despair or depression or the bottle or any number of places that you don't want to be. I remember one time very clearly in the course of my ministry at First Church in Mount Holly, getting a call in the middle of the night. And unfortunately, one of our beloved congregants had passed away very suddenly overnight without expectation. After being with the family in the hospital for a bit, the next day I was able to go to the widow's house. And it was there I saw something interesting. You see, she had taken it upon herself to clean every square inch of her house. She didn't need to. The house was immaculate to begin with. But there was something in that momentary hopelessness that led her to clean and would not let her let it go. That's hopelessness. Now, thankfully, the woman's robust faith in Jesus Christ led her to a better place. But for a while there, I think she would tell you she felt pretty hopeless. And I think that's the nature of losing your loved, beloved spouse. I think it just happens that way, as we understand, those of us who are married. And look at Mary Magdalene in our text this morning. Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb with tears in her eyes. We can just feel her hopelessness. She's had quite a remarkable turnaround. At one point, she would have existed on the very margins or edges of society, wondering really at times where her next meal was coming from. But then she met Jesus, and everything changed. She found in her Lord a great teacher, and she listened and followed him very closely. We should never lose sight of the fact that it's Mary Magdalene, and as well as his mother, that actually see Jesus crucified. They witness the nails being driven into his flesh, his hands, and his feet. And so we know that Mary Magdalene would have seen this roller coaster ride of hope to hopelessness and hope again, and then this morning, hopelessness again, as her teacher, her Rabboni in Aramaic, has been felled by a Roman cross. Mary Magdalene would have been like many in Jerusalem at the time, undergoing a cycle of hope to hopelessness and back again. You see, Jesus Christ wasn't the only person who claimed himself to be the long-awaited Jewish Messiah. In fact, before Jesus Christ came, there were no less than seven men who took upon themselves the mantle of Messiah and believed themselves to be God's anointed one. Seven times the populace was raised up, and a great number of them joined in these rebellions that would have taken place. But the Romans were harsh and strict overlords, and they wouldn't let rebellion pass. So these seven men that came before Jesus who claimed to be Messiah were all killed and died on a Roman cross, just like Jesus. But unlike Jesus, and unlike Freddie mentioned, they stayed in their tombs and remain there to these days. But so the populace would have tasted hopelessness, and so would Mary Magdalene. She's there at the tomb weeping, and she comes to Jesus, and she comes to the tomb, and the angels say, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" And to which Mary Magdalene replies, you can almost feel the angst in her voice, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Thankfully, Mary Magdalene knew Jesus Christ in the flesh, and she was blessed to be there when he simply calls out her name, Mary. It's then that she recognizes and hope comes flooding back in that her teacher, the one that maybe she even saw laid to rest just 3 days prior, was yet again alive. The fulfillment of exactly what God had talked about in Scripture. Don't overlook this. The entirety of the Old Testament points us to this risen Savior. We learn about him in the pages of the Old Testament, the expectation that Jews had that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And that fulfillment in Jesus Christ gives us the most amazing hope we'll ever encounter. The hope that death is indeed vanquished and sin has forever been put in its place, which is away from our lives entirely. It reminds me of a quote that N.T. Wright once shared. He says this: "The message of Easter is that God's new world has been unveiled in Jesus Christ and that you're now invited to belong to it." That invitation speaks so loudly to people that are hopeless. I remember meeting 1 year ago a young woman by the name of Emily. Emily told us that she had been struggling with depression for many years and that she really just didn't see the point much in doing anything except staying in bed. It was a difficult thing to reconcile. But then, one day, she was invited to church, and she heard in some simplistic form that wonderful Easter story, that Christ is indeed victorious over death, that he is risen from the dead. And she latched onto that message and began to feel the first glimmers of hope. It's a hope that remains with her this day as she has two pretty well-adjusted teenagers and is living life in a very uplifting fashion, working as a counselor now in order to help people who find themselves in that same dark hole that she herself was in. You see, the power of this hope is that we can be transformed, we can be changed, we can be different. And we can know it on this side of eternity. That power of hope speaks to us in all things and in all ways. But it isn't just the power of hope that's unleashed on Easter. There is another power as well, and it's the power of forgiveness. Forgiveness is such an interesting thing, isn't it? It's always easy to receive, but sometimes it's hard to seek when we ourselves have been in the wrong. And yet, what Jesus Christ tells the disciples in 22 and 23 make it incumbent upon us to be forgiving people. He says this, Jesus Christ: "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Jesus Christ, just as he sends us as the Prince of Peace to share his peace with the world, so too are we called to share his reconciling voice. We're to be the ones that bring people together and seek the redemption of their souls. We're the ones that go out into the world and lift high the cross, sharing the good news of Easter morning and sharing with the world all that it means to us and to our salvation to know Jesus Christ. That power of forgiveness changes us. In fact, I remember long ago reading the story of a teacher that just wanted to teach her kids the power of forgiveness. And so what she did one time was she got a huge sack of potatoes, and that giant sack of potatoes was meant to be used. She asked that whenever a person got a grudge against one of their classmates, that they come and take one of those potatoes and put it in their backpack. And they couldn't take it out of their backpack until they had forgiven the person that they had a grudge with. The kids reluctantly came forward, and some of them picked up a potato or two. One young man, he reached in and he picked up 5 right off the bat, put them in his sack. As the weeks rolled by, the kids would all show their teacher them getting rid of these potatoes, pleased that they had given up their resentment. But the little boy that took 5 wouldn't have any of it. Those potatoes stayed in his bag until they were a rotten, smelly mess. Friends, I wonder, to use that image, how many of us have a bag of rotten, smelly potatoes on us today? How many of us do so knowing what we just heard from Jesus, that as we retain sins, sins are retained? It's incumbent upon us to let go of these grudges and to seek out redemption, to seek out to seek out reconciliation ourselves by setting right the wrongs that we ourselves have done. I met a man in the course of working for Serenity Church that was a real inspiration. His name is Michael, and there were times in his story where the power of addiction loomed so heavily in his life that he was living inside a dumpster. I can only imagine how awful that must have been. And yet, Michael heard the Easter story in some form that Christ had forgiven his sins and his life was changed. He went to a recovery program. It was there in that recovery program that they encouraged him to make amends to the people he had harmed. Michael said he could hardly believe that people that he thought would never forgive him would forgive him easily when approached honestly and with candor and with the desire to make things right. Michael shared with me a quote about the power of forgiveness that I wrote down. "The forgiveness that I've received from Jesus and from others have given me a new lease on life. I know that I still have a lot of work to do, but I'm grateful for the second chance that I've been given." Michael has experienced just a little taste of that forgiveness, and he thirsts for more. But perhaps the most amazing story I've heard about forgiveness is one of our Kairos brothers, John. John is actually known, I think, in this congregation. I ran into him at the very first community supper that y'all were having when I first got here 3 years ago. So I know he knows members of this church, and maybe you know him, but I wonder if you know his story. You see, John, a very jovial and kind man with just a heart of gold, didn't have the easiest life. In fact, at one point, one of his sons was shot and killed in a drug deal that went bad. And John shares that he remembers those dark days of hopelessness and anger at the other young man who was involved. But John was gifted by the Holy Spirit with a heart of reconciliation, and recognizing that that hatred and that animus that he was holding on to was harming not only himself, but the people that he loved around him, he resolved in prayer to let it go. And it was that prayer to let it go that saw John taking action. And John actually showed up and testified for the young man who had shot his son so that he might get released. It's an amazing story of forgiveness, and it's all inspired by the power of forgiveness that we celebrate this Easter morning. So we have the power of hope, we have the power of forgiveness, but we have one final power that we've yet to speak about, and I think it's the most fun one of all. It's the power of purpose. You know, it was several years ago that my daughter was playing soccer, and the game had started. And most of the little kids were on the field doing that little dance they do in soccer where there's that ball and then there's that big clump of kids that follows it around, right? If you've seen youth soccer, you know what I'm talking about in the early stages. But you see, Lily's team had three little boys that there were too many teammates. And so at the beginning of the game, they were asked to do something that I think has just got to be impossible for a 5 or 6 year old kid. They were asked, while their friends were playing, to just sit down. Just sit down, the coach said, probably to corral them in a little bit. So there are these boys, and you could really just feel them sulking. But then a fourth little boy came in, and he had some news for them, that they weren't just sitting around on the edges of a game that their friends were playing. They were actually ninjas on a mission. And so he started showing them punches and kicks. And the three little boys got up and started throwing air punches and kicks, much to the coach's chagrin. But it really did point out the power of purpose. It had transfixed these young men. In obviously a much grander and neater way, Jesus Christ gives us the power of purpose. You see, in John 20:21, we hear this: "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And there we realize that there is, in fact, power in the purpose that Jesus Christ had given with us. at the end of the Matthew's gospel, we hear this. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them everything I have commanded you and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You and I have a purpose, and that is to make disciples so that more and more people come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And it's in that power and in that purpose that we find our hope rejuvenated and our desire to forgive reestablished. I witnessed this at my last church through a young woman named Sarah. Sarah was on the edges of our youth group. She came only because her parents made her, and she was very clear that that's why she was there most nights that she came. But Sarah had a good heart, and she kept listening to this story. And then one day it just clicked. One day that Easter power got a hold of her, that Easter purpose. And she began to feel as though she was being led to become a Christian missionary. She said, as she explained it to the group, that it was not something that she ever thought she would say, but that she was feeling very led. It was around this time that a global mission group had come to the church to tell them about an exciting program that saw young disciples sent hither and yon into the world to make disciples of Jesus Christ with very little structure behind them, but a lot of prayer. It was the kind of mission that scared her parents to death, and it would have scared me to death if my kids had come to me. I would have really thought hard about this opportunity. But Sarah was resolved. She was certain that this was what the Lord was calling her to do. It was just right before I left that young woman came back. And she had been all over the world. And what she talked about most poignantly and specifically was her time in Nepal. You see, in Nepal, she was there as an earthquake set off a landslide that buried villages and people. And she was there amidst the horror as people were being unburied. It was there, though, that she said she felt as close to the Lord as possible, remembering that God loves the brokenhearted and lifts up those who are crushed in spirit. She said there was a palpable feeling of the Lord around her every day. Friends, this Easter morning, in which we say those wonderful words, he is risen indeed. We come and we realize that this isn't just a game that we play, that it is in fact the totality of our lives, that we are in fact taken up by the power of the Holy Spirit and made new by his transformative power. And in that newness of hope, we're able to forgive the harms of our past. We're able to seek out forgiveness on the ways that we've harmed others. And then we find a new, renewed purpose, a new lease on life as we figure out exactly to where and to what our Lord and Savior is calling us. So let us celebrate the powers that are unleashed this Easter morning. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Having heard the word read and proclaimed, it's right and fitting that we turn our thoughts and attention to the giving of our prayers to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray because we believe that this is a God that not only hears us, but that does indeed respond. So let us pray. Wonderful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come before you now, having heard your word read and proclaimed, confident in your grace and love. We're confident of the great news that this Easter story tells us and the power that it unlocks for us through our faith in you, Father God. Be with us in this coming week, Father, reminding us of these three types of power, reminding us that we're your children, beloved by you since before the foundations of the earth, that our names were inscribed in the book of life, and that all roads that we take in Jesus Christ lead to our everlasting tomorrow. Speak to us in that still small voice if there is worry or hurt in our hearts, reminding us that we're called to let go of the pain that others cause us, and we do so in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ through his power. Father God, we pray for all of those who are sick or grieving or lonely or anxious. And we make our prayers for them because we know that you hear and respond. We pray this morning for those suffering with all sorts of illnesses. We pray by name for Annie Lucky. We pray for the family of Dolores Todd. We pray for Paige Benson. We pray for Dennis Abernathy. We pray for Jack McClure. We pray for Tom McClure. We pray for Jill Griffin. We pray for all of those who are on our prayer list and stand in need of intercessory prayers. We make all these prayers to you, Father God, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the name of Jesus Christ. It was he who taught us to pray in this fashion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Having made our prayers, it's right and fitting to turn our attention to the giving of our tithes and offerings, remembering that God loves a cheerful giver.
Savior And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace.
God, this Easter sunrise, you reminded us that you are indeed a God that speaks through the glories of nature. Thank you for this beautiful day, just as we thank you for all of the many blessings that you shower into our lives. Heavenly Father, as we return a portion of those blessings back to you, we pray that you would use this offering, sanctifying it to your purposes and your will, so that Christ's light might shine ever more brightly in this, your world. We make these prayers in the strong name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. Amen.
Amen.
Friends, don't let the power of Easter pass you by. There is good feeling this morning, just as I hope there's good ham and mac and cheese at your place, right? I hope that you celebrate and have a wonderful warm day. But never lose sight of the fact that Jesus Christ did rise from the grave, something that nobody else has done in the history of humanity the way that Jesus did, never to die again. And in that power, change the world and bring light into this place darkened by sin. Enjoy afterwards, all the kids. Don't forget the Easter egg hunt, which will take place right on our front yard. And so be ready for that. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen.
Our going out song will be our Easter song for the rest of this month. So it's a straight call and effect. So I'll start and just join the choir. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed.